For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel here for your weekly roundup of the beautiful game where passion is the fashion. Joined once again in the studio this week by our managerial guru, former manager at AFC Wimbledon, Hendon Harrow-Burrett, and many, many more. Now back in the dugout with Chertsey Town. Good afternoon, Mr. Dave Anderson.
Good afternoon, Tim.
Well, it's good to have you here, but by the power of the internet and a bit further afield, we have Mrs. Non-League, as we learnt that she'd now like to be called, the director of the National League, Caroline Barker. Good afternoon, Caroline.
What's this passion fashion thing? Is that because you've got Dave and, you know, you can't outdo him on the fashion front?
He's looking very smart today. He's gone for the Tim Sherwood look with a gilet.
What is a gilet? It's like something you have on toast, isn't it?
I'm from West London, it's a gillet, mate.
In my golf gear is normal.
You've had a bit of rough.
Yeah. I'm ready for golf, that's all I'm saying.
Ready for golf. I'd say it was a good afternoon. It's not a very good afternoon. It's dark in the mornings, dark in the evenings. It's been wet and windy. It's near Christmas. You can't play golf in that, can you?
Summer's day in Belfast.
Yeah. Believe me. Yeah. So any news from the week, the two of you?
Ladies first.
Where? that threw you, didn't it? I ain't no lady.
Hey.
On the subject of fashion, someone who's quite a well-known manager who's come through non-league ranks, who we're used to dressing quite well, and there's as many clues as I'm going to give you. Apparently, during the week, dresses like Dave.
Well, he's smart all the time, is he?
Yeah. And then when he turns up for match day, all the players take the mickey out of him because that's when he puts all his tit-fur on. And away he goes. And so his big story, the big exclusive, is going to come out about how actually, secretly, he doesn't know what to wear sometime soon. There you go. I'll leave that one hanging with you.
Leave it hanging and not give us the big exclusive. We don't know who it is now.
No.
I think to be fair, neither. If you're talking about people who are smartly dressed in non-league football, you can pick them all in one hand, I would guess.
We're going to talk to one of the smartest dressed in non-league football shortly, aren't we? And Alex Neri.
Yep.
Well, hopefully. If he picks up his phone. We'll be hearing from Alex Neri, the editor of the non-league paper, see what's been going on around the non-league. FA Vars this week as well. We've got a couple of managers who are involved in the FA Vars. Yourself as well, Mr. Anderson.
Yes, we're away at Tadley. How is it pronounced? The second part, Cavalry? I can't pronounce it.
I think it's Kaleva.
Okay. And that's, listen, because I can't pronounce
it. You should have just left him struggling. Just left him.
Yeah. Listen, it's not about what they're called. It's about what they do. And believe me, I am informed on that part.
What is it
don't
they
you
do?
Believe me? Well, they play football, apparently. No, I've got the match reports and all that stuff. So that side of it's all serious. But it's another new ground for me. I've never been there. And this sort of levels... I've enjoyed that part of it, going to places that are completely new, you know.
And talking of completely new, what does Mr. Anderson think of hashtag United?
I actually know the goalkeeper, Jacko. Jimmy Jackson played for me at Harrow and was at, where were we as well, Slough together. And he's a top man. I don't know a great deal about it. I spoke to him briefly funny enough, at a funeral, at Kevin, the old physio's funeral, about it, and he was looking very dapper, as he normally does, and he's although he's getting on in years, he's very young techno, so he knew all the situation. So I don't understand a lot about it, but it seems to be going okay for them, doesn't it?
Well, they came in at step six, didn't they, Tim?
They did, indeed.
Essentially, they're just... I say just, they're trying to get people to follow them in a different way, and they've got something like nearly 500,000 YouTube subscribers, and they've got all the flashy videos and everything you'd expect from a pro club. So everything you'd expect.
Late lunch, was it, dear?
Yeah, probably not late enough. But yeah, they're in the Eastern Counties Division 1 South, and they're just trying it a bit of a different way, but we'll see how it goes. Spencer Owen's quite an interesting character who runs them too.
So
I don't know. We'll see how they go. But Jay,
diversity.
Yeah. Jay Devereaux down there, who's well known within non-league circles. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
And they do have that charity match coming up again at Wembley. I've seen them advertising that they were involved in last year as Spencer FC. They have various freestyle footballers and things like that. So they, whatever success they have in cup competitions this season, they'll be playing at Wembley.
There's one way to do it, isn't there? To get your own football club, name it after yourself.
Yeah. Listen, I've had a few players like that who think it's called, I won't name them, you know, United, Dave Anderson United, you know that one? But
no, you won't name them, but it's me. Yeah.
Dave Anderson always united with his players.
Yes.
Okay, so every now and then, every club has a week or two of just sheer magic. From relative obscurity beyond your own league and locality, thrust into the spotlight of football's media. Last weekend, Lymington Town were gearing up for a big FA Cup first qualifying round tie at home to Lydney Town, the furthest both sides had ever been in the FA Cup. But their week was to get even bigger. Step forward, Lymington Town manager John Pyatt, to tell us some more. Good afternoon, John.
Yeah, good afternoon.
So last Saturday, it was a record-breaking game anyway. Then you concede early on, went down to 10 men on 34 minutes. You get ahead 2-1, then concede deep into injury time, setting up a replay for Tuesday night, and a five-hour round trip to the Forest of Dean. Quite a busy Saturday then.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, yeah.
And then you're probably scrambling around on Monday lunchtime. You're trying to organise your own work schedules and looking for players. Make sure you've got those players for the Tuesday night replay. And the FA Cup draw comes out at lunchtime and sets up a home tie with Torquay United. Were you looking out for it at the time, or how were you notified of that one?
Well, to be fair, I was on the phone at the time to a fellow manager over at Brockenhurst, Pat McManus. We were just chatting away about bits and pieces and football and work and whatever. I work quite closely with Pat, and I said, "Pat, you're not going to believe this. Who would you want if you were in the cup now at the next thing?" And he said, "Well, somebody big." I said, "Come on, man." Anyway, Torquay United, you couldn't believe it. I was like, "Get in there."
Pat McManus, yeah, old friend of the show, and probably he's probably not too happy that you're progressing in the FA Cup, because he's a bit disappointed he went out in the first round that they played in. But good lad nonetheless, but you still had to win Tuesday night's replay, and so you went all the way down to the Forest of Dean. You went ahead in the game, and then you conceded, and then Jake King, was it an 84th minute winner? I bet that made the journey home a bit easier.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. We were a bit flat at the time. We'd just gone flat when they equalised, and obviously my phone was going mad. People were texting me from home and everything, including my wife. Anyway, I showed a little message from my wife, "Fire him up, John." There you go. We got the boys going a bit and everything. And all of a sudden, the two wingers swapped over. And that just proved dividends, because Jake was on one side, swapped him over the other side. Sammy's delivered a brilliant ball. And he just had to nod it in the net. And, yeah, just amazing, really. And then we just had to hold on then. Just saw the game out quite well, really. Got it into the right areas at the right time. And the longer it went on, they got more frustrated and giving away silly kicks and everything, sort of played right into our hands.
Yeah, and sorry, John, it's Dave. And then, so you're now looking at the Torquay game. I'm always interested in as much as that, would you rather be away to Torquay?
No.
Really?
It's a cup final, it's a one-off game.
Yeah.
And if we're gonna have any chance, it's gonna be on our own patch. You know, there'll be a lot of work going on there between now and the day, and hopefully we can get the store out right. And who knows, on the day they're going to come to us. If we got taken back there, you know, the replay, there's no chance. You only get one chance at this. If we can set the store out right and get the right clientele in the right places and everything, well, who knows, dear? You know what I mean? We won't be sitting back.
No,
with respect to them, don't get me wrong. But
yeah, no.
You only get one chance at this. Let's give it a go.
Yeah, sure. I get that. And to be frank, I'm glad you said that. I think as well that although they'll try and be as professional as they are, going to somewhere like Lymington isn't something they'll look forward to, because they're used to a certain level of football and stadiums and stuff like that. So that will be in your benefit. And I sometimes think that if you had said to me, yeah, we'd rather had it at Torquay, you're nearly chucking the towel in. Whereas in the tone of your voice, it's two teams, 11v11, why not?
Exactly, it's a cup final. This is our cup final, isn't it? Let's give it a go.
Can I ask what this all means to you? You know, when you walk through that front door, whatever time in the morning after getting that result, what's the kind of conversation you have with yourself, with your other half, with the family? What this has done for you?
Well, to be fair, I didn't get in until 3:30 this morning. The coach had a detour all round half the country, I think. Yeah, so it was a bit quiet. I had a couple of dogs there. They were wagging the tails at me, which was good. And then, it was nice to wake up this morning, 7:30. My son come in, and he said, "Have we got some good news, Dad? He's only 7 years old. Just started playing himself." I said, "Yeah, 2-1, we won." I said, "Do you want to be mascot?" "Yes, please." Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, is it a family affair? Do you all get involved in the club?
Yeah, we're all, yeah. To be fair, you scratch the surface at Lymington Town, a lot of people behind the scenes there who've been involved with the club at some time or other, and we've risen from the ashes in 1998 when the original AFC Lymington, they joined forces with Lymington New Milton to try and sort of move up the leagues a little bit, and we took the club from then, and we've just had a sort of fairy tale, really. We managed to get into the Hampshire leagues straight away because we had the facilities there, and then we pushed up from the Hampshire Premier into the Wessex One when they formed two leagues there. We managed to win that first time of asking, and we were up against Poole Town as well, got promoted into the Wessex Premier, and we haven't really looked back since then. So to get where we are today, and then on the 22nd, we're playing Torquay United at home in the FA Cup. It's just, we can't explain it, can they? Unbelievable, really.
And another thing as well, I mean, we had the Torquay manager on last week, oddly enough, and he's under a little bit of pressure and spoke very honest about his job. But, I've been a manager for a long time, and I'm telling you, it is the last game that he would want. It's just one of them games that he'll feel that no matter what they do, he can never win it. So what I mean is, if they win, they're expected to win. If they get beat, it could cost him his job. So there's a bit of pressure hanging around with that as well, which I think sort of helps you. But there's a massive difference in level. So will you watch them? How will you prepare? What sort of stuff will you do that way, John?
Well, we probably will watch them, to be fair. But I got quite a lot of contacts in the game anyway. I'll be talking to different people and everything. You know what I mean? I get on really well with Steve Claridge at Salisbury and people like that. So I've got a bit of a collection of friends that I can talk to about that. And we're set the store out accordingly. You know what I mean? We know, like I said, it's a cup final for us. We've got a one-off opportunity here. You know what I mean? We'll see how we get on the day. You know what I mean? We'll have some tactics. Don't worry about that. You know, we got a few things up our sleeve, and who knows if we can surprise them. But they're going to come to us. They're going to be a professional outfit. Like you said, it's a banana skin for them, but they're going to be coming to us. They'll be prepared. They know what we're about, and they'll be here to do a job.
And Dave mentioned that they won't fancy coming to you. You know, yours is a classic non-league ground. You mentioned that the merger that sort of demerged with New Milton, but you've even had to play your early games at New Milton, I think a Vars match at Brockenhurst this season, because your ground you share with the cricket club, and the cricket club take precedence in August. So this first FA Cup match last Saturday was the first game you've even played on your ground this season.
That's correct. Yeah, I think we played eight games away, or possibly nine games away since the beginning of the season, so... Yeah, we haven't done too bad.
it is a great little setup down at Lymington, and you know there probably won't be much room for too many neutrals down there. But it is one of those games that you'd love to go and watch it.
Yeah.
You know, the local support. What's your average gate on a Saturday, John?
Probably in the 70s, 60, 70. Some of the bigger games, you know, we get a few more. We've got crowds up to sort of 200, and I don't know what I. I presume Torquay will probably be looking to bring probably 500 down, and we'll probably get quite a bit of local support. So we'll probably be looking at something in the region of about 750 crowd on.
I would say at least. I would say that you need... It's not, the question we shouldn't be asking you is what's your average gate? I think the question is, what's your capacity? Because I think it'll be close to a full house.
Yeah, Yeah, it will be full out. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
What a great experience for your guys as well, then.
Yeah,
it'll be brilliant.
Before all of that, though, that's Saturday week. Before that, it's the FA Vars this weekend. And what a week you've had with all that story you've already told us. You know, Hollywood would be fairly proud. So you end up going to Eversley and California in the FA Vars this weekend. Yeah, have you had a chance to even do any research on them?
No, nothing really. You know, but obviously, I'll buy the non-league paper every week. We keep a close eye on what's going on there. But it's just, we just need to go out there and just do... We know if we start right, and we got a different clientele in again, because unfortunately at the moment we've got five lads that are out injured, and you know, very good players, so we've had a lot of bad luck this season. We signed on another two players, we managed to get a couple of 7 days in, dragged another two in, but they're FA Cup tights, they'd be eligible for this game coming, so it's all we're chopping and changing all the time. But we'll be going up there, you know. I know if we start right and we're correct and everything, we should come away there from the points, and there's no disrespect to anybody else, but we're looking out for ourselves.
Yeah, I think it's something that you're always wary of is after a big win like you've had in the replay and how the draw's gone. That I always call it after the Lord Mayor's show, where you now have to pick the guys up for, which is the Vars is a big competition as well, you know.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, we won't be taking it lightly. Yeah, the boys are in training tomorrow night. They're not going to keep that in the system. They need a work off tomorrow night, get it out of the system, get ready again for Saturday. Simple as that.
Well, best of luck to you, John, in that game on Saturday, and also against Torquay. If you win, let's make sure that we do get you back on, and I'll be down for some celebratory beers as well.
There'll be a queue of the win. I think it'll be the story of the. Well, that's what it's about. That's what the FA Cup's all about. Stories like this.
Yeah, all about dreams. Yeah, you've got to have your dreams.
Absolutely.
Keep those dreams alive,
have
John.
Have some sleep is what you need, John.
Cheers, then. Bye.
See what I'd like to say is. See the confusion being in the FA Cup causes. That's why I get knocked out really early, you know. So it clears the deck. There's a master plan going on, you know.
You're not alone in that, because apparently Torquay are going for their first FA Cup win in 5 years.
Really?
Yeah, really? I don't know how true that is, but
I just after having Gary on last week, and it was a real honest interview. He will be looking at this going, oh, just let's get this over and done with. You know, he might say different, but I'm telling you, that's what he'll be feeling. But great story, isn't it?
You're a fan, you just, you don't want to go out of the FA Cup this early on, do you? But if I guess they're juggling it against wanting to win promotion. Yeah. It's such a tough league this year, that's unlikely. They'll make the playoffs, because the playoffs go down to the bottom of the league now, don't they? Yeah. So, told, why did the playoffs go down so low? Well, it gives everyone that bit of excitement, doesn't it, towards the end of the season? But so they should make the playoffs, and who knows, still do that. But
yeah, but I think as well, Cassie, you know, it can get in the way of Torquay, and they won't sort of cry over it when they go out. But not at this level, not Saturday. You know, they'll want to hold their heads up and earn some money out of it. But it's one of them great. Okay, I'd love to see their faces when they arrive at Leamington's ground. And I'm only going back. Tim's been there and knows it. I don't, but it sounds
well. The last time I was there in the summer before they played any games, because it's where the Leamington Carnival's held, and it's where. So every year when I go along there, and I'm looking out for the groundsman tearing his hair out. That there's all these funfair stalls and big bandstands on the pitch, and then they play cricket on it, and then they actually had a works party, I think two weekends ago, just to try and get the pitch up and running, ready for that FA Cup game that they've won now in the replay. So it's going to be a proper eye-opener.
The minute you said works party, I then thought, what, they're down there having drinking on it too? Having fun
there? It's a sailing town. Right. There's plenty of drinking.
It's worth some money now that, as well, the FA where they are now.
Yeah, I think they've already earned over £11,000 in prize money. If they win this next tie against Torquay, not only is the glory of that one, but it's another $9,000 in the kitty. Yeah. So it's certainly the biggest year in Leamington's career. And also, you know, one of those examples of clubs that merge. The merger didn't work out, so they demerged, yeah. And both clubs are now on the up. So, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
That's what me and Barker need to do, demerge.
Yeah, you reckon? I was going to say you're sitting on you're sitting on delicate ground, not least if you demerge where you currently are at Hayes and Yedding, one of your buttocks will end up somewhere else.
In somebody else's house now. Yeah. They built the house in the state. Yeah. So in recent weeks, we've discussed a number of big managerial changes, and such is the synergy in non-league football this week, we learned that two of those changes aligning with a positive story. After apparently losing his job at Billericay Town over the bank holiday weekend, Harry Wheeler has taken up the vacant managerial seat at Maidstone United after the departure of Jay Saunders. And I'm pleased to say Harry joins us on the line. Good afternoon, Harry.
Good afternoon. Hiya.
Well, I'm good. So your Billericay departure was, to be honest, in line with your whole time there, fairly bizarre. I don't think it was ever officially announced. But what have you been doing with your time since? Filling in managerial applications?
Close to it. Evidently, I obviously did one. We're just keeping busy, keeping in it, going and watching games and just making sure that, you know, I'm in the loop for anything that comes up, really.
And you joined Maidstone initially until the end of the season. What targets have you been given? I think you're third from bottom at the moment, but still plenty of games to play.
Not specifically. Obviously, survival is an evident thing for everyone. They've just said, look, how would you feel doing it till the end of the season? Obviously, working from there, they said if it goes well, we'll discuss it in December time and look to add a deal onto it extra. And just my confidence that is, that's no problem to me. And I assume we'll have that conversation in December. So initially get out of relegation and then just hopefully by December assess it again and try and look upwards.
Yeah, to be fair, Harry, I could do with you being on the show for about a day and a half, the questions I've got for you, but I'll try and keep them as much at Maidstone as I can. I think my first thoughts are that it's, as a manager going into somewhere like Maidstone, it's a difficult job, one, because of the league position, but two, because of following Jay Saunders. It's a bit like following Alex Ferguson. I remember Jack Charlton when he was a manager of Republic of Ireland. I always feel that there's jobs that when you go in after someone as successful and as iconic as Jay has been. Did that cross your mind at all? What were your thoughts on that?
Not at all, really. I think I learned from my previous job to sound out every single thing apart from the job in hand, you know. And I had to do that at the time, and in a totally different manner, I'm doing it here. You know, we're not here to replace Jay. What Jay done was irreplaceable. He's a legend there, and it'll go a long way. We're here to sort of bring a new era, and it doesn't add any pressure. We know we're here to kind of show how good we are as well as a management team.
And obviously your hopes are to pull the club away from the bottom of the table. Will you need to bring? Well, I suppose you can't bring people in now to around about the Christmas period.
Yeah. Either look, we had a good chat about that. They said you can put your own stamp on it. It's not, you know, you've got to deal with what you've got. But at the same time, there are some good players there, and they'll get an opportunity Saturday, and from then we'll be quick to act on what we need to and to bring players in. And also, we started adding to bring the staff in as well.
I don't know how can I word this one. How do you think you'll find the normality of it compared to your last job?
I said to them when we did the interview process, I think, you know, me and Billericay in many ways were quite far apart in certain actions. I hold myself as quite a professional and do my job well and do everything as well as I can. And there's a lot of professional aspects of Billericay, but there's also some things, issues, and I think Maidstone has run fantastic well. And I think, you know, we together have the same visions and we carry ourselves in the same way.
And, you know, just on it, one quick question. Will you ever tell the whole story, yes or no?
No.
Okay, that answers that for everyone. And secondly, I'd imagine that now it's behind you, it will be nothing but a strength to you in being able to hold your head up and how you dealt with the scenario. And I'm guessing, you know, the normality of what you're going into now. So as much as I thought it was bizarre and as though you won't tell the whole story, and I understand that. I will always make my views of, on yeah. here as honest as I can. I thought it was a fiasco, and we've spoke about it many times. I don't want to go into that, but I think coming out of it, you must have gained strength as a manager in who you are and what you are.
It's been a brilliant. It's been a brilliant experience. You know, there were tough times last season. If I'd looked at it any other way, then this is going to stand me in great stead for the future. And it's an experience that a lot of managers wouldn't get, and I can use that as a positive. You're 100% right. It's made me a lot stronger, a lot more resilient. I drown out everything around me and just focus on the task in hand. And it's probably something, I believe everything happens for a reason, and maybe me personally as a manager, it's probably something I needed to become that, to gain that strength and to gain that resilience. And you can use that in many other positive ways that based on that.
It's interesting that you say that, Harry, because I've had a conversation with Dave many times about when he's lost a job. I'm not saying you've lost many jobs, Dave, but when a job's gone. Was there any point where you were worried about your reputation being damaged?
Yeah, you have a little bit in the back of your mind. But I think you can change opinions, and they're to be changed. And I just had to try and act in the complete opposite to others were acting, if that makes sense. And, you know, just be the battle on the other side and big teams up and, you know, talk about other teams in good manners and promote other things and just try and hold myself in the right manner that people can have all their opinions, but, you know, in the end, they'll be changed through the way I portray myself.
How did that first conversation with the Maidstone dressing room go? When you get the players in and you're talking to them, did anyone take the mickey? Anyone ask you anything about your previous club?
They were extremely quiet, surprisingly, and they, you know, we kind of addressed that to relax the environment a little bit. We addressed that and came in with its standards. What I tried to do is come in with a ethos of how we want to be and how strict we are and how much our standards are and how much of a we're here to be professional. And so that straight away answers some questions for them.
And sorry to cut in, because you just use the language or Harry, we and are. Have you brought staff with you then from Billericay?
Yes, the two people I brought in at the beginning of this season, I mean, it was quite well documented. I did a lot of it on my own towards the last year.
Yeah.
The two I brought in this year, Tristan Lewis and Craig Lewis, who aren't related before people asked. They are brilliant professionals, great coaches, great experience, and they're on the same path as me. They carry themselves well, and they're very good people. And first and foremost, I like to work with good people.
Yeah, I know Tristan. I met Tristan actually doing this show, and I'd made my mind up I wasn't going to like him, but when I met him I thought he was excellent, so but that's you never be right all the time. But and again, you know, going away from the Billericay thing, how did you shake hands? Was there a cut off, or was it see you later? Was there, how was your relationship with the chairman when you left?
At first a little bit quiet, we call it quiet. And then gradually, I always try and leave everything amicable. I think in football is the best thing you can do. And if I saw him now, we'd shake hands and we'd have a chat. So, you know, it's now he's in a good place.
And there you are at Maidstone. You've taken on the job. And then your first game up, Saturday, you're at home. That's a good thing. But you're against Harrogate Town, who were sort of leading the charge in the National League. Could it got any more difficult as an opening game?
No, probably not. I mean, there's a few up there. We played them last year in the FA Trophy at home and away. And I thought then that they were the best side that Peter Ricky had played at the time. And there's no surprise they are doing what they're doing. They're very well organised. They're very intense. They work hard. And straight away, all I can guarantee is we'll match them for work rate and we'll be organised. And from then, you know, the other stuff might take a couple of weeks. But couldn't have asked for a tougher game, really.
Yeah, to be fair, I've just wrote that down. Changes the team and system, how long would it take? And you've answered it. Because obviously you will want to put your own stamp and how you're going to play and get about that. So when you go into this week's game, it's very much, you won't have worked a lot on pattern and stuff, will you?
Not too much, because we don't want to overload.
Yeah.
But literally a basic defensive pattern. Attacking-wise, we'll give them some expression.
Yeah.
We'll tell them what good players they are and try and create that individuality. But defensively, we will be, you know, we've worked on a little bit just off the ball to try and shore it up a little bit.
And we are recording this ahead of your Meet the Fans night at the Gallagher Stadium on Thursday night. But it seems that you've been well received positively. Have you had a chance to meet and work with any of the fans yet?
Not yet. I look forward to things like that. It'll be good to sort of be throwing questions, you know, questions there to be answered, and, you know, opinions are there to be changed. And hopefully, you know, we meet tomorrow. We'll have a good chat about everything and every concern they have, as well as every positive part. But I haven't met any yet. I had one lady called Leslie that came down today, bless her, because she can't make it tomorrow and she wanted to have a chat. So I spoke with her, and that's the only one I've met so far.
They've got a few more than that, you know. I've been there. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah. No, I will enjoy it tomorrow,
and,
yeah.
I'd say as well, Harry, that I've actually put down here, you know, there's everybody will have different opinions on different managers, whether they deserve a chance at another club or not. But believe me, you deserve the chance to manage another club, son, for what you've gone through. So I personally wish you very well with it, Aunt Tristan and your staff.
No, thank you very much. No, I appreciate that. And it's nice to get started.
Well, thanks again for your time, Harry. Ever the diplomat, and but always open.
Quite boring. No, I'm not letting him off. It is quite boring that he's a diplomat. You know, you've got to get a bit of bit of devilment in you, son.
I've got to receive some certain things, sir.
Okay. I understand that.
Best of luck at the weekend, and no doubt we'll speak to you soon again.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thank you.
He is ever the diplomat, and only 30 as well, I think. I think one of the youngest to get his pro licence as a coach. He's had, it was St Albans, Welling, Billericay, now mate, it's a decent CV as
a
manager anyway.
It is for 30, but Kaz, I was going to say, I'd love
you said a lot.
I always say that. If you're not sitting beside me, pinching me, telling me to shut up, I never shut up, you know. But I'd love to get him out for a pint. With no makes, and say what was it like, you know, tell me exactly what it was like, you know, maybe that'll come out one day.
I love you didn't really interrupt me, you just did what you did, we just have a conversation as normal. But I was going to ask him about that point, Dave, when you walk into a dressing room when someone who's had such a reputation there that Jay Saunders had, where there's a bit of kind of, you got to go through that healing process too, which all sounds a bit a rude word that I'm not going to say, but when you've got to almost have the bit of the grieving for the manager that's gone, because there'll be players in there that really like Jay Saunders.
Yeah.
I guess there'll be some that see it as a new opportunity. And then for him to go in and say, we addressed what had happened at Billericay. We took the key out of ourselves before we let them do it. It's an interesting way of kind of just saying, all right, yeah, okay, let's all have a laugh.
But
it's, you almost need that sort of character when you're taking over from someone that had been at a club so long and had done so well.
Well, when you're talking about the sadness of replacing a manager, you'd have to talk to the people who came into the dressing room after I left it, obviously, so I couldn't comment on that. No,
yeah, great.
I'm only joking. You know, people know me well. I'm only joking. Yes, I think it's a good thing. We know what dressing rooms are like. We've spoke about it before, about the... I hate the word banter, but there's not a better word. The dressing room is a place where, as a manager and a staff, you have to get the balance right. So when you walk in after someone like Jay Saunders, who, in all honesty, is like their Alex Ferguson, you know, he brought them up through the ranks. He's taken them from nowhere to definitely somewhere. He's a lad, when you meet him, you can't help but like him. And I think healing is the right description, not only within the dressing room for him, but the fans will have a big association with Jay as well. Now, the first thing you have to do is get the demon off your back from where he's come from, which isn't his fault. It's just the circus act that he was around. So I think he's done that right. But we've spoke to him a couple of times, and he always comes across very polished. Part of me doesn't like that. I like someone where you never trip him up, you never get him to say anything too negative, and that's just how polished he is. But he's genuinely upbeat, and he will genuinely, I feel he'll win the dressing room quickly. And listen, how do you win supporters? Get results.
But that's modern coaching, isn't it? I'm not saying you're not part
of modern coaching. What are you trying to say? Why did I come out of retirement?
Did you?
Yes, that's modern coaching. Go back to your statement.
The point I was labouring towards is that I wonder when coaches doing their badges now, how much, I don't know how much time goes into talking about how you put yourself across.
Yeah.
So that might be an immediate situation, but you get so many coaches going on these coaches badges now from all different levels. And it's, I only say that because we'll have all seen the international managers this week, some of the younger ones, and they handle themselves in a much different way to maybe some of their predecessors and are able to hold a conversation.
Yeah.
They're able to talk their way around. And he didn't, he doesn't come across like he's giving us coaching speak. He just comes across as being old beyond his years, I guess.
There's certainly
some confidence there.
He can string a sentence.
Unlike us. Maybe we're just intimidated.
That's what it is. Don't ever get him on again. I would say that, you know, taking your coaching badges, I'd recommend that everybody does it at whatever level you want. At the A license level, they'll cover media stuff now and how to sort of be interviewed by the press and that sort of side of it, you'll have covered that. But listen, when you pass your driving test, doesn't mean you're going to drive a Formula One. You know, the best people come to the top, and you can tell that he's driven. I don't mean in a car. He's driven it because he wants to go forward. He's dealt with the situation at Billericay, I think, as well as anybody could, if I'm being honest. And he gets a big chance at a big football club. And I would say if he gets this right, he'll be a league manager.
It's funny you should do the whole driving analogy, because the reason I'm not with you right now is in just a short wee while, I've got to go and interview a 12-year-old go-kart driver is going to be the next big thing in Formula One. So what about you?
Well, do you know what I mean? You could probably drive better than I can now anyway.
Now, we love a legend on this show, even in non-league terms. Players that give 100% week in, week out, that can list over 20 clubs on their CV, but still be a fan's favourite at almost everyone. They're rare. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a legend amongst us. Former player at Yedding, Staingstown, Uxbridge, Wealdstone, Chertsey Town, Hemel Hempstead Town, Boreham Wood, Northwood, AFC Hayes, Edgware, Bedford Green, Bedford Town, Windsor, Hamel, and many more besides, and now player manager at Edgware Town, Mr. Fergus Moore. Good afternoon, Fergus.
How you doing? How you doing, all?
Oh, good, mate.
That's a bigger introduction.
Still only 12.
Yeah. it's a bigger introduction than I have to give to Dave Anderson. Now, I mentioned legend because all of those clubs are ones local to where I grew up and where I've watched majority of my football. And it's true that at each and every one of those, you can still find fans who retell fond tales that include you amongst them. You're just a big hit with the fans.
Well, that's nice to hear, but all I do is, when I sign for a club, is just give it my all. It's the only way I can play, whether it be a pre-season friendly or a cup final or whatever. I always give it my best. So, and at the end of the day, that's what they want. That's what they want to see from their players. They pay good money to come and watch games, and hopefully that's what I give them.
And so many stories.
Nice to be remembered like that.
Yeah, so many stories about you. You decided to write your own with a little help from our old friend and former Wealdstone secretary Roger Slater. You're bringing out a book.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's just, I thought it come about when Roger come down to watch me at Cockfosters about five years ago, and we just started talking football as we do. And he sort of jokingly said, "We've got to write that down." And here we are, 5 years later, just coming, telling stories about the past, and sort of, it was meant to be about a year. So I thought I'd be giving up at about 40, but I've ended up keeping on playing, so a day in the life of 5 years rather than a day in the life of a year. So.
What? Oh, he's got a brilliant title.
Yeah.
Sometimes the dog was busy. But who's the dog? Why the title?
Oh, you haven't seen the cover, Kaz. The cover. Sorry, Fergie. I got a copy through the post. And the cover is...
Of course you did.
Of course you did. And it arrived yesterday. And the cover is a guy behind the goal, just on his own, you know, watching the game. And the dog was busy. Sorry, Fergie, crack on.
Yeah, it was just a bit tongue-in-cheek, really, about, like, played in maybe 1,000 people, sometimes 100 mostly. But then sort of the lower you drop down, it's sort of one man and his dog. But then even, as I said, the dog's busy, he won't come along. So just one man.
What is it? We're all involved in non-league football because we love it, right? But for people like you, for people like Dave, it almost becomes an obsession. Can you pinpoint the moment that you became hooked on non-league?
I sort of got released from Brentford. It was sort of more while I was at Brentford, I was getting games at Yedding, the old Yedding, for obviously under Gordon Bartlett, Mr. Non-League himself. So, and then going back to play for Brentford reserves, and then I've obviously got released, and then Gordon said, just come down and do a bit with him. So, I was doing it there, but it was still, I was still acting as a professional. I was still doing me, preparing myself properly. But then after about a year there, I moved on to Uxbridge, and then that's when I really sort of got the non-league feel, sort of all the banter and, you know, all the, I suppose, the social side of it really kicked in then. And that's the way it sort of developed from there. So a different sort of manager in Georgie Talbot. I know Dave knows him. You might know him, and it just started from there. Then it was just sort of play hard, but then sort of party hard and sort of have a good time. Then you make friends through it, and it's just sort of become an obsession and a sort of a drug, really. So,
is it easier then to kind of stay with non-league football, or is there a part of you that's always thinking about the what ifs? If I could get back to the Football League, if I could get back to being a pro.
Oh yeah, it's always still a little bit of a dream. And then the side, obviously the managing side of it, it can be done. If you look at the Cowley brothers, they sort of started sort of at a lower level, and they've got back into the pro game. It is a sort of ambition of mine, but at the moment it does seem a million miles away. But who knows? I'll just keep trying my best and see what happens.
Yeah, I've just sort of noted down, Fergie, roughly, if you've played for 20 clubs, I think I've managed 10 of them, 10 against you, 10, maybe 10 different clubs, something like that, over a vast period of time. And within the book, is it just stories from each club? Is it? I've got the copy and I will read it, but it literally arrived on the doorstep. How is it set out? Is it just funny stories or all sorts of stories? Or give us a couple of good ones.
There'd be one, what sort of manager would, it'd be like you, I don't know what you were like, did you ever join in the training sessions and then try and kick the players?
Yeah, well, no.
the earlier mentioned, that's what Georgie Tall would be like. You get someone like Gordon, who stays out, you got Willie Wordsworth, all the coaching, Leo, he'd sort of take a sort of background step, and then you got someone like George who would just go out and just try and prove he wants to see how tough you are. So you just go out and you run around and try and kick you.
And
could you see Arsene Wenger or Mourinho or anyone doing that?
No, but let's take that forward then, Fergie. You've gone into management, and I'm still in management, and I remember the sort of characters of that era when you started, and they're few and far between. Now the game's totally changed. When you're in your dressing room now and you look at players, do you see a change in the character?
Oh yeah, I've seen it. Sort of, it's been a sort of a slow process for the last 5 or 6 years, maybe longer. You just see this, like it's mainly sort of kids now, and they haven't got the non-league mentality of train hard and play and then stay in the bar and get to know the supporters and all that. They literally sort of come in, have their drinks, have a Lucozade, bit of bite to eat, and then they go home. It's just, and it's hard to build a sort of, I look at it as like, if you don't have team spirit, gets you about 20 odd points a season, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you're down there in the, fighting for your lives, that bit of team spirit all comes through, and it's the kids, I think all them, the power leagues and all that sort of stuff, all them and futsal and all that, they take more interest in that. There isn't that interest and that sort of bug and that desire to succeed. But they should know, that's what I try and tell them. If they play succeed at our level, they'll get spotted, and then they'll go higher, and then they'll go higher, and they'll go higher. I've seen it happen. So it's definitely a sort of a, it's not how it was back in the old school.
Yeah.
And you're obviously now, I mentioned player manager. How are those knees holding up? Are you still running out there at the back?
Yeah, it's funny actually, because I didn't sort of haven't played this year, but I had to, due to an injury crisis, and I had to play Saturday. Got a good draw, clean sheet, first booking. And, then the manager side of me left myself out last night, and we took a tonking 5-0. So definitely a better player than the manager at the moment. So.
That'll come. Who have you got with you, Fergie, in the dugout? Because obviously that's important.
It's been hard to sort of try and get someone, you know, of round about who I know, because they've either gone higher or they've gone out of the game. So it's just sort of a lad who's worked his way up from sort of just on the Spartan League scene. So his name called Hector Varela.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's there with me. He's got good tactical knowledge, and he sort of knows players from that level. So that's what you need, someone like that.
You enjoying especially it?
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's one of them. When you win, you enjoy it. It's brilliant, isn't it? But then when you lose, it's the end of the world. It's just like a lonely place, and you go wondering what you should have done, what you could have done, and all that. But I get like that. I'm sort of high and a low. You know what I mean? When we win, I think, oh, I've done so well there, and then obviously lose.
Yeah, that won't change. That won't change, mate. No. That'll be until you walk away from it. But listen, I am going to read the book. I promise you that. I think it's a great idea, and there'll be some good stories in it, you know. But good luck with it and the career, you know.
Yeah, and it's just to say, like yourself, though, I don't know, it's sort of there's a bit in there a lot about my family. It's just, even though it's only non-league, it does take a strain on your family, doesn't
time.
It? You know.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So, like the three, I've sort of put it in there, like about the three kids, they're 18, 12 and 6, and there's a lot of guilt. I feel a lot of guilt. So I haven't been there sometimes, you know what I mean? Their little parties that they have, and then obviously other family things like weddings and christenings. You know, I haven't been to them. I've sacrificed a lot for the sake of football. It sounds silly, but it's just, that's how much it's sort of, the bugger got me, you know? So,
yeah, but I think as well, Fergie, yeah. I think, you know, I've dealt with that, and I think your family's massive for you, supporting, because you can't, listen, you can't be around it as long as you have, or I have, without the support of your family, and, you know, listen, my kids are a bit older, and, you know, they don't regret it. They're quite glad to get rid of me, I think, on a Saturday, but I wouldn't beat yourself up about that.
Yeah, they'd hope I was missing on a Sunday after we'd lost anyway. And I wish I wasn't there then.
Well,
hopefully I've sort of told them how I feel about them and all that. So without them, I wouldn't have been able to do it. So.
Well, obviously it's FA Vars weekend this weekend, and you're drawn away against Broadfield United, who ground share at Harefield United. Did you ever play for Harefield as well? There must have been a local club that you played for, surely.
No, they're one of the few.
But you've got a game on Sunday. So where does that leave you on Saturday this weekend?
I think I've been invited down to Willstone, so I'm going to go and see them. I haven't seen them this year, so it'd be nice
take
to
a
go
few
down
copies with you, Fergie.
Yeah, I might do. Yeah,
take a few copies of the book. You'll do a few in there.
I think they're Chelmsford. I think they're playing Caroline. So I think they're playing Chelmsford. So
oh,
might see Caroline down there, Murray.
Yeah.
But that's what I'll do Saturday, and then just obviously Sunday's a bit. I often play on a Sunday, but it's not the same as a Saturday. But obviously playing Broadfield, they're a good team. They're played them in pre-season, they beat us, so it's going to be a tough game. So, but there's a bit of money on it, which would be nice for the club to get. So,
and great that you say about the club, but obviously you as a player plays for the old Edgware Town, which then disbanded because of various other things, but then reformed about 10 years ago now, wasn't it? And the club's going from strength to strength with you at the helm.
Well, yeah, we're gradually getting there sort of to the levels that they were before, but, you know, it's all volunteers, you know, without these people, it's always sort of in the press and all that. I always try and do my best to sort of put something about the volunteers. You don't sort of see it as a player, but when you get to a manager, these people that, you know, they're there for you all the time. You know, I've got a really sort of young team. They do well, fair play to them. They give me their all, but some of them don't drive. You know, I haven't got enough. Sometimes I've got to pick a team, not only to pick team for positions, I've got to try and pick and sort out who's a driver.
You
know, so, and there isn't enough drivers, all this committee that they'd run around for me, they'd do all they've got to do for me, and it's all unpaid. So they're brilliant, these sort of people. They deserve all the credit, you know, for what they do at these football clubs.
And I'm sure there's plenty of mentions in your book. So the book, I believe, out the 24th of September, so just a week away, available in all good bookstores, I think, for most of the clubs that I mentioned in that long list, and probably many, many more as well.
Yeah.
And how can people get in contact with you, and if they still can't find a book? You're on Twitter?
I'm not on Twitter, but there's my co-author, Roger. He's got an email, which is... CAMS office, which is CAMS office at btinternet.com, and we'll forward any details of what they need to do, if they want signed copies, etc. So
brilliant stuff, just in time for a nice Christmas read and prezzies all around. Fantastic to talk to you, Fergie. Wish you well with everything, and is there a record number of games that you're trying to notch up before you finally hang up those boots?
I think Roger kept hold of it. I think it's 1,200. I think I've done already. Wow. Something like 1,200. So I don't know whether that's in the record books or anything, but I don't look at it as that. It's just something that I'll go until I'm good enough to pick myself. Like Saturday, I was a bit weary about playing, but I played myself, done all right. So as long as I'm good enough, I'll do it. It's just that I can't just totally stop, you know. If I do stop, it'd be this way, sort of gradually, rather than just a full stop end of. I wouldn't be able to get the adrenaline buzz that I get.
Yeah.
But you know, eventually it will come, and I've got to do. I'll have to get someone strong like you, Dave, to come along and tell me to stop.
No, my days are nearly over. I'll be coming to watch you, son.
The wonderful thing about non-league football is it's always moving, it's always changing. So we recorded the majority of the show on Wednesday afternoon with Dave Anderson and Caroline Barker. We have guests John Pipe, the manager at Lymington Town, Harry Wheeler, the new manager in at Maidstone United, and Fergus Moore, the player manager at Edgeworth Town that released his book. And then in the afternoon of Wednesday, just after we finished wrapping up that recording, I had a swap some texts with Gary Hours, who'd left Torquay, so there were various things that we discussed had then become out of date. There's so many other changes. We're just about to speak to Alex Neri at the non-league paper. We recorded on Thursday afternoon with the news that Peter Beadle has now left Hereford. Hopefully we'll be following that up next week. But just to give you a little bit of a roundup of what's been going on Thursday afternoon, here's a brief chat with Alex Neri, the editor at the non-league paper. Good afternoon, Alex.
Good afternoon.
It's a busy afternoon. I would have thought for you guys there, plenty going on this week.
Yeah, there is. It's the managerial merry-go-round is in full swing now. We're into September. It's been a full-on week. Obviously, Harry Wheeler's appointment at Maidstone, that's a good move for the club and a good move for Harry. Gary Owens leaving Torquay yesterday, and then Peter Beadle, the story breaking today that he's departed Hereford, which is really a bit of a shock to everyone at non-league towers. So, a bit of a big week and lots to cram in for Saturday. It's a hectic old world, and who'd be a manager, really? It's just crazy, this game.
Well, it seems to be getting crazier as well, doesn't it? You know, it's safety in numbers. We spoke to Gary Hours last week, and you know, he discussed the issues that he'd had with fans and how he was trying to deal with that. And we actually looked at his record. It was a fairly decent start to the season. You know, they're certainly not out of it. But there's obviously fan pressure there, expecting them because of where they've been in the past. And as we all know in non-league, you need to consolidate. You need to sort of build from the ground up. And it's just no time for managers now, is there?
Yeah, well, I listened to Gary's interview last week on the show. I thought it was very good, actually. I thought it was very honest, and it was a very touching interview. And I just feel that a club in Torquay's position, you know, coming down from the National League, and it's just not easy coming down to Step 2, to National League South and National League North. These clubs have got it tough. There's no easy game. And it's the as you say, the expectancy from the fans for instant success, thinking they're just going to climb straight back up. It just doesn't work that way. And I agree, Gary's record wasn't too bad. It's too early in the season to make a call on where they're going this term. I still think there's a lot of room for improvement and they can improve, but it's just the way of the world that people don't have the patience these days. It's almost like they get to September and they think, well, we can stick or twist. What do? We've got to make a move now. If we make a move now, we might be able to rescue the season, but it's a very, very tough business. And I do feel for Gary because he had a really tough time down there. Was on a bit of a hide into nothing in my books. It's one of those clubs where, like I say, the expectancy is you've got to get back up there and you have to deliver points, but football doesn't work like that. So yeah, my thoughts are with Gary and Peter Beadle too. I feel very, very sorry for him there and what's happened at Hereford, because again, it's way too early in the season. And in some ways, these managers, particularly in Peter's case, they're kind of victims of their own success. Mm. It's 4 months ago that I stood at our National Game Awards and handed Peter Beadle the award for the Step 3 Club of the Year. 3 promotions on the spin. It was just, what more? I don't know what these clubs expect. We touched on it last week, actually, with Jay Saunders at Maidstone. Mm. What do these clubs expect from these managers? They can't just keep on delivering success. There's a ceiling for every club. And I remember speaking to Peter at the awards, and I did say to him, I said, when does it become a time that you sit in and you consolidate? Because you're going up to step two, you're going up to National League North, a brutal league, with the likes of Stockport in there, Chester in there. When do you sit in there and say, right, this is a season of consolidation? And he looked at me and said, well, if I had my way, it would be now. That's what we've got to do. We've got to kind of consolidate and make things sustainable for the future. But he kind of gave me that look as if to say, but that's not what other people think. So, it's really, really tough. And I just hope these guys, Gary and Peter, find other employment, because football is a lesser place without them.
I'm sure they will. And, we'd love to see them, because we know that their passion for the game, whenever we spoke to both of them. But as you say, what are people expecting? Who's going to now want to go into Torquay? We've just spoken to John Pyatt, manager at Lymington Town. So it could well be that the first game that the new Torquay manager has, if they don't get someone in before the weekend, the first game is a trip to Lymington Town in the FA Cup. That's a hide into nothing, that one. Who's going to want to step up and take the job now at Torquay? And who's going to want to try and follow Peter Beadle? Maidstone have been lucky. We've spoken to Harry Wheeler. Harry Wheeler, I think, is a great appointment for Maidstone. It's a little bit dissent amongst some of the fans that I've seen, because he hasn't got maybe the record at that higher level where they're playing, and people are maybe doubting where he's a risk. I don't think that. I know you don't think that, because he's going to be a great manager. But, it's all well and good getting rid of these managers that have got good records and we know understand the game. But then who do you bring in to replace them?
Yeah, listen, I'm a big cricket fan, and you look at England at the moment, the England cricket team, they keep crying out for an opening batsman. I think they've been for about 12 or 13 in the last 4 years. There's no one else out there, and it's a little bit like management, the management get merry-go-round. I don't understand what these chairmen, what these clubs, what these board members think they're going to get by getting rid of somebody with bags of experience and bags of know-how and absolute stacks of respect. And they think they're just going to go out there and get somebody who can slot in straight away and get the club on the rise again. And you're absolutely spot on about Torquay. That first game away at Lymington, good luck. That's like you say, you're on the hiding to nothing with that. And I think it's going to be very, very tough to get the right fit for that club and likewise for Hereford. I just worry about where these clubs are going, and I worry about the decision makers and the decision making at the top of the tree, because it really doesn't send out a good message to aspiring managers in my book.
And it doesn't reflect well on non-league either, does it? So one positive note for non-league, certainly this last week, there were some great FA Cup results, great FA Cup games. We spoke about the Iron Brew Cup before. Paul Doswell takes his Sutton United side up to Airdrie and they win, and now they've got a trip to Dublin in the next round.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Tim. I'm not sure what I think about the Iron Brew Cup at the moment. I'm willing to give most things in life a go, and I'm all for you know, non-league clubs spreading their wings and getting out there and getting involved in these cup contests. But it's a tough old school. The fixture program is tough enough as it is. You get August out of the way. You've got 7 National League games in the month of August, and I understand why you're taking advantage of the summer evening sun, and then you're cramming in the fixtures while you can. But
that's it for this week. A big thank you to all of our guests. Sure, a big thank you to Dave Anderson and to Caroline Barker.
And all the traveling and
a thank
that goes
you
with it.
To you too for listening. Don't forget you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League.
But, you know, fair play
tell your friends too, they can find us every week on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, on Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Thank you and
good luck to them.
I think Dave Anderson's looking for a coaching role now with Sutton, you know, with all those trips to Glasgow and Dublin. It sounds ideal.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm sure Dave would enjoy, you know, the odd weekend away over there. It'd be great fun.
So what else can we look forward to in this weekend's paper?
Well, we've spoken to Harry Wheeler on his move to Maidstone, which is great. And we're really chuffed for Harry, I've got to say. And yeah, I talked about him on the show a couple of weeks ago. Definitely one of football's good guys. Young manager who's hungry, who kind of says the right things and knows the game inside out. He's got a tough task ahead of him though. Different task at Maidstone, obviously, from where he was at Billericay. Totally different environment ahead of him there. There's some cracking National League fixtures. You've got Leighton Orient welcoming Barnet. You've got Chesterfield, struggling Chesterfield, six defeats on the spin. They got the first point in 7 games last week. They're playing a Dagenham side who are struggling as well. So some big games in the National League. It's FA Vars weekend again. Some cracking ties in that. It's a full-on week again for us at Non-League Towers. And we've also had an interview with John Parkin, who's got a book out. It's got some cracking stories in it. We've had a look at that, and we've had a really good chat with John. So lots of stuff in there, lots of stuff to cover, and it's been another busy week.
And you must be looking forward to May, June already, aren't you?
Well, I am. We are, but as I said a few weeks ago, we're suckers for punishment. To be honest with you, we love it. It has been a really hectic start to the season. The restructure has thrown everything it's become quite chaotic for everyone. But it's the way it is. We enjoy it. It's a heavy workload for us, but before you know it, we'll be working towards the Christmas programme, and then we're on the home straight towards the end of the season. But like you, Tim, we love our non-league football, and we wouldn't have it any other way.
And I did retweet something from your accounts the other day. I think you were looking for bring some more staff in as well.
Yeah, we are. We are looking for some help on a Saturday. So any guys out there, any young aspiring journalists, it would be a good kind of starting point for people. Yeah, if you head to our Twitter account, you can see all the details on there, and you can get in touch with the non-league paper. But you know, we're looking to grow. You know, with an expanding industry, Tim. You know, it's we are looking to grow, and then the leagues are all growing. So why shouldn't we? So yeah. So if you head to the Twitter account and see what we're after, and young aspiring journalist Foreman Audley Hugh.
I think it was about 27 years ago where I wrote one of my first articles ever was about non-league football. Now look at me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the big guns, you know, industry heavyweight. So, you know, everyone should look at you for inspiration.
Yeah, they can look at me if they like. Well, thanks as ever, Alex. Have a great weekend and look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks, mate.
That's it for this week. A big thank you to all of our guests. A big thank you to Dave Anderson and to Caroline Barker. And a thank you to you too for listening. Don't forget you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. And tell your friends too, they can find us every week on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, on Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Thank you and goodbye.
Jabba production. J-I-B-B-A, J-A-B-B-A.